whole world revolves around me. Everybody seems to be in on it.
I'm going away for a while.
You may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. You may ask yourself, how did I get here?
I'm not in on it, Truman, because the last thing that I would ever do is lie to you.
Fade up music. That's our hero shot.
To I Totally Paused, the podcast about the most iconic moments in teen pop culture from the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm Siobhan.
And I'm Jess.
And today we have Liz Bentley from Feathers in My Hair. We kind of just started talking.
We love Feathers in My Hair. Feathers in My Hair is a Teen Mom podcast. She recaps episodes of Teen Mom. And ever since I discovered it, I don't have to watch Teen Mom anymore.
Me too. Yeah. So she'll do current episodes that are airing now, but then she'll do really fun, like either iconic episodes or there are 16 and Pregnant. Mm-hmm.
And she also breaks down like what's going on in real time, like in life with them. And she'll talk about like the social media.
Yeah.
So Liz is really funny. And when we were thinking about, we wanted to have her on our podcast, and The Truman Show was just like a really great option because, as we discuss in, you know, our conversation with Liz, The Truman Show is like the original reality TV show.
Yeah, and these kids that are born on TV are like living their own Truman Show.
They're Truman.
Yeah, because that's all they've known is like these cameras and it's pretty wild.
So
she seemed like an appropriate guest and seemed like appropriate topic to bring her on for.
And she was great. It was a blast.
Yeah. We love Liz Bentley. We just want an excuse to talk to her, really.
It's true.
Yeah, because like, you might realize like Truman Show isn't very like a teen iconic
moment. But it is iconic.
But it came out when we were teenagers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was...
It counts.
We
it's fine.
We bent the rules. Well, we bent the rules for Bentley.
All right. So here it is, our conversation with Liz Bentley about The Truman Show. Enjoy.
This movie darked me out, you guys. Like, I had seen it before, but...
I have never seen... I don't think there's another movie that gets more relevant as time goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was creepy, especially as the end goes on, like how much I was just equating it with reality TV today.
I mean, to think they made this movie in 1996, really, what? That's even before Survivor. That's like...
Yeah, I think they said
everything
came out the next year.
Yeah.
It was like 1998. And like, yeah, Big Brother came out the next year for it.
It's like before everything and just how accurate it is.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Network?
Mm-mm.
Network started as a satire back in the 70s. That's the one with Faye Dunaway and like, I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. That's...
Oh.
And it was supposed to be a satire. But if you watch it now in 2019, it is not a satire anymore. It's because it's all about the reality TV and doing the crazy things to get people to watch, but it's like a news program.
I've never seen that either. I'll have to watch
it. Oh, you guys, both of you will enjoy it because it's just so funny how it was supposed to be a satire and it's completely not a satire anymore in this day and age.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to watch that. But The Truman Show is just, first of all, it's like an incredibly smart script. And like screenplay in general, like it's very smart. And there are a lot of, I did have a lot of like technical questions watching it. I'm like, but then you're like, okay, just suspend belief like a tiny little bit. Then it's so good. It's so original.
Yeah. I was just saying right before you hopped on, like I hadn't seen it. Like I know I've seen this movie like a bunch of times, but I didn't realize how long it had been. And it was, I don't know if it's like me being older or like looking at it through the lens of now having reality TV, but it was like not the movie I remembered. Like I remember it being like a lot funnier, like a lot more fun to watch.
That's true. I had watched it like as a kid, you know, like probably I would assume not in the theaters. I'm sure I rented it from Blockbuster or something. So I'd seen it as a kid, and then I watched it a couple years ago, and I remember being like, oh my God. And since then, it feels even more serious, because now I'm really into like vloggers on YouTube, and I watch some like family vloggers. Kids are literally in The Truman Show.
Yeah, well, I kept thinking about like Teen Mom and their kids.
Okay, there was a scene this season in Teen Mom where – Kale takes Isaac to get his haircut she takes the kids to go get their haircut, and they're talking about how Isaac's first haircut was like they filmed it because, you know, the fourth wall is broken. And he's like, you had this show when I was two.
Oh.
And she's like, I've had this show since I was pregnant with you. Like, he doesn't, I mean, part of that I think is just like being 8 or 9, like you don't have a lot of concept of like time and
yeah,
relative time to what's going on in your life now. But I was like, holy shit.
That is crazy. Thinking, when I was watching the movie, I was thinking they manufacture this whole world around him and like they don't need to do that. Like I was thinking, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm sure there are people who would let them film them from the time their baby is born all the way through their lives. And then I was like, oh, that's Teen Mom.
I watched that show.
Yeah. I don't watch it anymore, thanks to you, but I'm familiar yeah. with that show.
No, 100%. And, you know, just everything that they talk about. So at the very beginning of the movie, Marlon, who, what's the actor? I can't remember the actor's name who plays him.
Oh, but, the best friend, though.
Yeah, Truman's best friend says something to the effect of, the situation around them may be set up, but everything is very real. I didn't take notes. I just watched.
I think I wrote that. He says, nothing you see on this show is fake. It's merely controlled.
If that's not reality TV.
Yes, like, that's exactly what I wrote. Like, that's reality TV.
Like, that one, like, that was jaw-dropping to me. Yeah. That line was so perfect. If that doesn't sum up almost everything that I consume mm-hmm. media-wise, like, almost everything I consume, like, I don't watch, I mean, that's not true. I do watch, like, a decent amount of scripted. Like, as soon as we're done this, like, I'm popping on the next Handmaid's Tale. But the majority of content that I watch is reality TV. Mm-hmm. It's YouTube, which is like micro reality TV, right. if you will. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, definitely.
It's like reality TV on a very, very small scale, hyper controlled by the participants, but it's still reality TV. Like, vlogs are reality TV.
Sure. Yeah. I thought of it that way, but you're totally right. Yeah.
I mean, especially nobody's really truly vlogging, no editing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just that they have complete creative control over what's shown. They don't have producers edging them on, which is why, in a way, it's more boring, but also kind of it feels more real than a reality yeah. TV show. Mm-hmm.
Vlogs are comforting. I've been really into Disney vlogs and people like going to Disney, like especially in the rain. Disney vlogs,
really?
Like someone going in the rain is really soothing because it's not crowded.
I can't watch a Disney vlog because I'll just be like, you know me, I'll be like booking the next Disney trip.
Oh yeah. But that's Liz, that's a hot tip for you. If you want like some Disney in the rain. Not well, the thunderstorms are good too. I like those too.
But yeah, so like everything we watch basically these days are situations that are controlled, but real.
But real.
That thing on reality TV like happened spontaneously. You know what I mean? Like all these people didn't just end up at this party mic'd up, ready to talk.
Right.
Because the call sheet said like, you're going to this party today. This is everybody that's going to be there. Plus like, you know, if the camera's following them, if they have a mic on, if they're lit up. You yeah. know who's being filmed, but mm-hmm. especially on a show like, I mean, some shows are obviously a lot more heavily controlled, but let's say like a show like Vanderpump Rules or maybe Southern Charm or even Real Housewives in a lot of ways that have very real fights because they have very real history, mm-hmm. but they are in like these controlled situations where these two people wouldn't be together in real life because they're mad at each other. So they would avoid each other.
Right before this was on, we started recording. I was watching the Real Housewives Beverly Hills France trip. Lisa Rinna was saying, oh, it's great that like we can all be in one place, but then it sucks because we can't leave if we get into a fight. I'm like, that's why you're there, Rinna. That's why you're all there. That's why they paid for you to go to a chateau in France. So you can't leave once you fight. Like that's right. part of please.
Exactly. And that's why we all like the Real Housewives in New York best, because they go on those trips and they stay in one house together.
Right. It's just like all of love shows. That's the reason they stay in these dorm style beds in this like big common bedroom.
And, exactly.
And other things to like help get things going.
But yeah, so that line is in the first like 5 minutes in the movie, because that's like one of the establishing world building lines of the movie. And I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's like a good place to jump in. It opens up with all of like the different people who create it, like the actors and the director of this Truman Show, kind of explaining the show. And the credits, it opens, it's the opening of the Truman Show.
Right, it says starring Truman Burbank as himself. And it opens with Christoph also saying that audiences are bored with actors, special effects. That's the same thing. While the surrounding of the Truman Show may be counterfeit, there's nothing fake about Truman himself. It isn't always Shakespeare, but it's genuine.
Which,
so like, when you see Ed Harris, do you always think of the Secret World of Alex Mack? Because I do.
No.
No.
I'm the guy.
You know what's so weird about The Secret World of Alex Mack. That show was so important to me. I remember watching it all the time, but I don't, unlike Clarissa, which I have like really clear memories of storyline. Like I remember clear storylines on Clarissa, but Alex Mack, for whatever reason, the storyline
she turns into.
I just remember the puddle. And I also remember around the time that that actress did the Babysitter's Club movie, her hair was crimpy. And my brother being like,
Dawn,
like the show too.
Like, I also remember Alex Mack wore like these beanies, but they were more like baseball caps without
backwards, right?
Yeah, but they weren't, they didn't have like the visor thing. It just looked like it was just the beanie. I remember like,
I remember that.
Looking for the baseball cap without the visor.
Like thing. The thing, yeah. Well, Ed Harris was the guy from like the power plant that was always searching for her.
Oh my God. We maybe should do this on another episode. Alex Mack.
When they interview Laura Linney, who plays his wife,
I loved her in this.
I love her. But she talks about how blessed she is to be on the show. And she says it's a noble life. I would like to know how she justifies it to herself that she thinks her work is noble.
Oh, and that the other thing she said, there's no difference between a public life and a private life. And that really struck me that so many reality shows or reality stars with like social media, that's because even when the show ends, they're still on social media. And like,
yeah, I thought that was especially true for like vlogging where, so I really, when I heard that line, I really thought about how these vloggers or influencers or whoever, a very public person who is essentially only famous for being themselves, right? Like they don't have, you're not an actor, you're not a singer, you're not an artist, you're you, your brand is you. Mm-hmm. So, like live out loud, you know what I mean? Like. Like everything is out there and then something bad will happen and they'll be like, well, I don't want to talk about that on here. And I don't understand why people have questions about that and people need to mind their business.
That's like always kind of your complaint about Chelsea, right?
Yeah, Chelsea, but also like a lot of influencers will do that. And like a lot of people on YouTube will like have their relationship front and center and then they'll break up and they'll be like, well, we don't want to talk about it.
Or and they'll post something and they turn the comments off so like no one can talk about it, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting because if you literally make your money being a public person, these people like want their whole, they make money and a lot of money off of being themselves and allowing the public to come into their lives. And then when they want to control the narrative and like control what they put out to the public. And usually their audience gets pissed about it. Because they're like, this is bullshit. Like, you shared everything else with us. The reason we follow you is because you share everything with us. Right. And I mean, I think at least a lot of what attracts us to people on reality TV and influencers and YouTubers and these people is that they're vulnerable and that they're like letting us in a very intimate part of their life. And so then when they block us as audiences, even though we don't actually deserve any of it and we're not entitled to any of it, we're like,
to it.
What the fuck? Of course we're entitled to it. That's how we feel. And so I thought that line was great.
Yeah. And I just like, you're like, I just scroll through your flat tummy tea ads. I just scroll through all this bullshit, but this is something interesting I actually want to read about. And you're like, no, sorry guys. It's private. Right.
So they tell us that this is day 10,909. So Truman is like not quite 30.
Correct.
Which is crazy because how old was Jim Carrey when he shot this?
Older than 30. Well, I read actually that in the original script, it was supposed to be a teenager. Mm-hmm. But when they cast Jim Carrey, they made it about like a midlife crisis as opposed to like an angsty teenager.
Actually, I would have really liked to see a teenage version of the Truman Show.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would have been a cool version of it.
I can see now that I know that, I can see how that's the original script.
It was supposed to be in New York City too, but they thought it was too sci-fi. So they changed it to like a Norman Rockwell town.
Yeah. That's smart. I think that was really important. The town itself was very, very important for like the ambiance of it. And I think you're right. I think it would have been too sci-fi if they said it. Like, I think we as an audience are supposed to feel the fakeness of it.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. And like the way that we identify a fake town is like a perfect place like that.
Right. Like a Pleasantville.
Exactly. A Pleasantville.
Too. Yeah.
Imagine this had been done with Jake Gyllenhaal as Teenage Truman.
Oh, that would have been so good.
That would have been so good. Wow. That would have been really good. Teen Jake Gyllenhaal. Even though I know he's not in Pleasantville, but that just made him pop into my head for some reason.
Yeah. No, it's a good choice.
Tobey Maguire. Teen Jake Gyllenhaal would have been so good. Like, yeah, like an angsty teen. And then that would have made more sense with the girlfriend. It would have just, it would have tracked, I think, a little better. But I do think that, I mean, Jim Carrey was phenomenal.
So good in this.
Jim Carrey, like, I always forget what a good actor he is. Like, partially because he's nuts. Did you guys watch that documentary about him making Man on the Moon, which is another movie that I love?
Oh, should I watch that? I think it's been on my, like, should I watch this list for a while.
It's good. It's bananas. I mean, he's nuts, but he really is crazy artist.
You know, he, like, was a big part of Jenny McCarthy's anti-vaccine beliefs and all of that. That's, like, when he was with Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, put those pieces together.
Because remember, they dated for, like, 5 or 6 years, and he was Evan's dad.
Right. Yeah.
Even though he's not Evan's biological father. But I was a father figure to him for a very, very long time. And that was when he was diagnosed and she was curing
autism.
Yeah.
As she says.
I want to like her, but I can't.
No, and you know what? I watch interviews with her sometimes because she's actually incredible. Like, on her radio show, like, she's very good.
I loved her book. She wrote a book called Belly Laughs about, like, pregnancy, and I read it when I was pregnant, and it was great.
I mean, she's funny, and, you know, they put it, like, I don't have Sirius, but they'll put her interviews up on YouTube, so I'll watch them sometimes, because her Real Housewives ones are so good.
Ooh, I'll have to look into those.
Like, she's so good at it, and then you're like, you started a really bad movement.
I don't think she's ever going to live that one down.
As she should not. Yeah. So Jim Carrey is, he's bizarre. Like, he's a weird fucking guy.
Bizarre guy. He may or may not have killed his girlfriend.
Oh, no. So I read into that a lot when that was happening. And she was a Scientologist, and a lot of the stuff that came out, like, against him was all fueled by, like, Scientology and the church and her brother, who's also a member of the church, and he was anti-church. Jim Carrey was. So,
as he should be.
Wait, Liz, do you remember when Tom Cruise got married to Katie Holmes? Jim Carrey was at that wedding. So I always wondered if he was, like, part of the Scientology
thing at one point. I would bet he was, like, a J-Lo. Like, did you read Leah Remini's book?
Jessica actually gave it to me, but I haven't read it yet.
Read it. Actually, I highly suggest listening to it on audio because she reads the audio and it's like she's talking to you. It's one of the best audiobooks I've ever heard, and I listen to like hundreds and hundreds of audiobooks. It's so good on audio.
Audible, please sponsor Liz's podcast, Feathers in My Hair.
I know. I give them a lot of free press. She would like talk about how she was friends with J-Lo, and so they would like always invite J-Lo to stuff because J-Lo's dad was a Scientologist.
They wanted to get J-Lo into it,
but
too.
But she never became a Scientologist, and so with these celebrities, they'll like invite them to stuff, and a lot of these celebrities are tangentially related. Like, they'll have a family member that's a Scientologist or a close friend or maybe a significant other. They don't actually become Scientologists, but the Scientologists court them for a long time. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Carrey was courted for a long time, but
yeah, me too.
I would have to double check, but from what I can tell, no, he didn't kill his girlfriend, and a lot of the stuff that came out was like Scientology related.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good to know.
But it's crazy.
But in that documentary, he's just the way he like walks around like full time as Andy Kaufman.
Could you imagine trying to like work with a method actor?
Exhausting. No.
I heard the only time he broke character was to meet the widow of Dr. Seuss because they wanted him, like, before the Grinch. They were trying to get her to approve him to be the Grinch. God. And she was like, I don't know what they're talking about. He wasn't in character. He was totally normal.
And it was the whole thing in the documentary where he goes and meets, like, Andy's sister and Andy's parents, and he does the Andy character.
That's psychotic.
It's very bizarre, but they like love it. They talk about how it's like having Andy back.
Well, Andy was psychotic too, so it like worked.
Yeah, it's super bizarre, but it's good.
Jim Carrey did win a Golden Globe for this, but he was not nominated for an Oscar, which Ed Harris was.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
He got nominated that year.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good question. But Ed Harris won the Golden Globe, and so did Jim Carrey.
I mean, Ed Harris was great. Like, he was really captivating when he was on screen, and I would say he's actually kind of a perfect example of someone that should win Best Supporting Actor, because sometimes, at least in my opinion, supporting, especially now with so much, you know, what they call category fraud, where you're like, they're not really supporting. Like, in my opinion, Ed Harris, he's probably in, what, 25 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
25 to 30 minutes. And the scenes he's in, he's so captivating. His presence is so known. You know exactly the character he's playing, even though, I mean, really, almost all the scenes of him are just sitting and talking.
Yep.
Like, he's not doing a lot of physical work, but he's has such an important, like, impact on the movie, but still is very much a supporting character.
You could also feel, like, his pull with Truman and how he almost seems, like, fatherly, but even more than a father, because he's just his whole life. Like, you see
all he's God.
You can, like, feel his God complex.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
We see Truman come out of his house. He says, like, good morning. And then he says, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Yeah.
How did they get Truman to have a catchphrase?
I wonder if that was, so they, we saw some of the ways they manipulated him throughout the thing where, like, skipping ahead a little, when he wants to go on the ferry that day. So that night they pull I Love Lucy and they play that movie about, like, not wanting to leave home.
Right.
Like, there are a lot of subtle little things they show us, which, like, influence the way that Truman talks and acts and thinks. And so I wonder if the catchphrase came about organically or they had his parents repeating it all the time.
Right. Maybe it was, like, something his dad said.
Mm-hmm. He's sleeping, they're whispering it into his ear.
Yeah. So I would think that it was, like, pushed onto him to have this catchphrase and he didn't even realize it, which is why it's so important at the end when he says it.
Right.
Right. And so Truman's about to get in his car when a huge, like, light just falls out of nowhere from the sky and crashes into the street. And, like, nobody else on the street reacts, and I realize that because it wasn't planned, so the actors aren't going to really react to something that just happened out of the blue.
Which, like, you would think being able to improv would be, like, an obvious prerequisite for being cast in this show.
Yeah, but I would think they're probably told not to react to stuff like that.
Probably, especially things they do. Yeah, especially something weird that's more technical to do with
the show. Apparently the trailer showed a shot that's not in the movie of, like, a big rip in the fake sky where the light fell.
I meant to watch the trailer.
I didn't watch it either, but I read that.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that it's good they didn't include that because I think that would have been too much.
Right. I like the way
it's hard for everyone to ignore for sure. Because that's something, you know, Truman can point to and say, like, look, don't you see that big rip in the sky?
I wonder if that was actually never meant to be in the movie and that was just for the trailer because that would be a good way for a trailer to really establish
that's true.
Like what the movie's about. But it couldn't have been in that early in the movie because he would have... It would have been too much. Like, it had to be that subtle buildup. Like, something so little.
Right, right. This is, like, the first weird thing.
Because it is little. Like, if that happened to me, like, I would assume that that came out of an airplane.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is exactly when Truman gets in his car, the radio immediately explains away the occurrence, and they say an aircraft shedded parts. And Truman's like, oh, okay. And just goes about it.
So he's walking into work and we see these, like, two men come up and start talking to him and they, like, back him up against the wall. And it's, like, obviously so that we can see this ad for Kaiser Chicken. So this is, like, the first of, like, many, many, many product placements. And we learn as we go on, they mention later that there's a Truman catalog and that everything you see on the show is for sale.
Yeah. So another thing that I love, the product placement, which, of course, it was already going on in movies, you know, like, product placement on in TV and movies was great. But we don't see it so much like that in reality TV. It's more like, but now in the age of SpawnCon.
Right.
Like where you don't, I mean, obviously they're cracking down on it now, but remember like 3 years ago before you had to hashtag ad?
Yeah.
Like you had
they even say that's not good enough. They say hashtag ad isn't good enough when they were like knocking everybody for doing that.
Now you're supposed to say, like, paid partner, hashtag, like, there's a couple things. But remember the days before hashtag ad, when there was, like, a year and a half of SpawnCon that, like, nobody was marking as SpawnCon? I know YouTube, like, in the beauty community was one of, like, the first places this really, really started. And they would give, like, whole tutorials on skincare, like, Proactive and stuff that they, like, would never, ever, ever use. And it wouldn't be obvious. And, like, you had no clue that this is, like, because it was normal. Like, why would I assume that you're getting paid by Neutrogena, you know, to do a face wash?
Right.
Like, that's a normal thing that people would use. Yeah, this, like, this product placement that's not clearly product placement, still true to life.
Yeah. 100%.
Truman is at work and he's on the phone, and we learn he's trying to find someone named Lauren or Sylvia Garland, who lives in Fiji, but there's no work, like there's no luck. So he starts flipping through the magazine that he got for his wife, or so he said, and he rips out a pair of beautiful eyes. We're not sure exactly.
Oh, and young Peter Krause is there.
That's why I was wondering if that was him. That looked like him from Six
he
Feet Under.
Good. I feel like from Parenthood.
I didn't notice him.
He's there 2 seconds. He's one of the coworkers. And they see it like for a second a little later.
Did he hold up like the newspaper that was like best town to live in?
No, he's the one who comes over and tells him that he's got to go on the ferry.
Oh, okay.
Tells him he's got to go on the ferry. And we find out that Truman is like deeply afraid of water. At this point, I found myself wondering if Truman and his wife have sex. We find out later that they do, which can we talk about that?
I mean...
Oh, I was going to say, I just remember reading things when this movie came out, and there was a couple things that they didn't make it into the movie, and one was that the wife gets a bonus every time she sleeps with Truman.
Oh.
I love that. They should have done that.
And how she keeps talking about having a baby, it was supposed to be a spinoff. The baby was going to be like the next.
That.
Oh, wow. I figured that the baby would just be in the show.
No, that was they.
I read that they were going to air both shows simultaneously, so they would continue to follow Truman, and they would have a spinoff about his kid.
God, they should have kept that.
Yeah. So then I wondered if the wife like had extra motivation, like she was going to get more money for technically being in two shows, having a baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure if she produced a child, there was like a major bonus.
Huge, yeah, bonus. I also thought it was weird, back to the beginning when she's talking about her role on the show, that's so weird that she's been acting this whole time.
That was my question about this. Marlon has been there his whole life.
Yes, I want to talk about this too.
Truman, okay, so this is one thing that's great about this movie is that for me as a person that thinks like this, like the world building of it all, mm-hmm. like there's so much there that I'm like, I want, like, this is why I love Handmaid's Tale, because I'm like, I want to know how money works in Gilead, you know. Yeah. What I mean, like, and this is how I feel about the Truman Show. They talk about money in the bank and struggling with finances and making mortgage payments. Marlon says something to Truman about how he remember that time when we were 10. So is Marlon,
we see pictures of Marlon as a kid.
They mentioned one summer, went full disclosure, I've had a crazy week, so I watched this on my phone at work and driving in my car, like I was listening to it. I kind of missed some of, I mean, okay. I've seen this movie multiple times, but I wanted to make sure to watch it one time before we did it. Yeah. So it would be fresh in my head. So I missed some of the visual clues. Mm-hmm. But so Marlon, they do mention though one summer that he goes and works at the chicken coops. So he left. For a little bit.
This isn't talked about in the movie, but the actor explained at the time, I remember hearing this too, is that he is so guilty about, like, because he really does love Truman and mm-hmm. really thinks of him as a friend. My theory is that as kids, they just organically became friends. And then he got like a promotion for being Truman's friend as he got older. He got promoted to friend of in the world of Real Housewives. He said one of the things, because you notice he always has a beer, like always has a beer. So he has addiction issues. So he says his character has been in and out of rehab. So whenever Truman's like, oh, you were gone the whole month, it's him going to rehab.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
So I assume that Marlon, my fantasy of what happened is Marlon is probably like a foster kid.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, they mentioned that Truman was like
an anti corporation. Yeah. I mean, honestly, some of these kids on Teen Mom might as well be adopted by him.
That's what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions about these long-staying characters who have been in Truman's life his whole life. And one thing that I was confused about was on the bus at one point, the little girl says, Mommy, is that him?
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, but they're not normal people. They're actors. But then in my head, I figured like, oh, for extras, they probably have like mothers and children come in.
Yeah, but yeah. You would think they would like vet those kids and make sure that they like know better.
Yeah, so this is where you have to like suspend your belief. Right. To like really enjoy the Truman Show, because if you get too hung up on this like Marlon thing, the Marlon of it all,
right,
and Meryl of it all, where you're like, I don't understand. So they've been in this show since they were teenagers. Do they leave? Do they like
their whole lives?
Do they see their family?
Meryl get to leave for like a week, saying she's going to go see her mother, but really she's in LA going to all the hot clubs and like doing Jimmy Kimmel, like doing talk shows. Because you would think they would have her go out and do stuff like that.
Yeah, because I got a little like hung up on that, and that's when I realized like I needed to look past that, because right. this movie is more about Kristoff being God and then mm-hmm. everybody else being the players, and like what they right. say about like our perception is our reality. That's the point of the movie, not like how has Marlon been his friend?
When you think about life? Like Kristoff being God, I guess when she says it's like noble work, I guess you can kind of see like a crazy actor being like, this is going to be an amazing experiment. This is going to be worth giving up my life to be
100%. So yeah, I could imagine Marlon was a foster kid, and then maybe they brought in like a whole gang of foster kids, and whichever kid like naturally became friends with Truman, you know, and had the best chemistry with Truman, got a permanent place, and the rest got filtered in and out.
Well, I think it's just wild at the end when they kind of like explain how Truman was one of five unplanned pregnancies. I'm like, that is just so creepy how it's close to Teen Mom, because it's all like unplanned pregnancies. It's just so wild.
And they say he just happened to be the one who was born in time.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't wait to be on TV.
Just like all these girls, they just happen to be pregnant at the right time. So they end up on the show.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's all about timing, really, for some of these people, which is crazy to think. If some of these people never got pregnant, or they got pregnant 6 months earlier, 6 months later, we might not know anything of them.
100%.
I think they all would be one. I mean, you've talked about this. I was supposed to say, we've talked about this before. I've listened to you talk about this before. All of them would 100% be better off. Like, can you imagine who Pharaoh would be today?
No, I truly can't, because I think her mental illness and personality disorder are very much exacerbated by being in the spotlight, but I do think they exist.
Yeah.
So I wonder how they would have manifested like in a non-spotlight world.
But then you also have those weird things like Kate and Tyler, like they wouldn't be in the financial situation.
They wouldn't be together. They would have broken up.
But I'm talking more the financials, like in a weird way.
For them in a way.
Yeah, in a way, but like in the same way, not.
Yeah, because they have to talk about, like, has to be worse for Kate that she has to talk about Carly all the time, right? Like, it has to be worse for her that she can't just like move on in her public identity as like being an adoptive mom. She has to constantly talk about her via MTV. So I think in that way, like, it would be better. Mm-hmm. Back like around when I first started the show, I did their 16 pregnant episode and had a birth mother on the show, and she was, there's no way that I could talk about this like mm-hmm. they do, and it like have it be my identity. But at the same time, like, yeah, I think Kate and Tyler's life is like significantly better. Like, she'd be living in a one bedroom apartment with April, you know?
They wouldn't be together though. Like, I think you've said before how Tyler is like obsessed with being like the couple that stayed together. They're the only couple that stayed together. And if they didn't have that hanging over their heads, I think they would not be together.
Their relationship is pretty stressful. Imagine if they also had to deal with like being poor and like the stresses of that.
Yeah, I don't think it would last at all.
We find out why Truman is so scared of the water. They show us this flashback, and when he's a kid, his dad dies in a boating accident, which this is what I started to think. I don't think as a kid I realized how fucked up this movie is. Yeah. Like, that is a serious, major trauma that they put him through.
And they address it later on. Kristoff's like, well, we needed something to keep him on the island. We had to give him, like, a reason to be scared. I was like, you took away his father? Like,
yeah.
And I didn't catch exactly what it was about it that made him feel like it was his fault. But later on, his mom says something like, I never blamed you, Truman.
I think we're supposed to believe that like Truman was Truman's idea to go out. And then the storm happened.
Truman is walking on the street one day and he sees a homeless man, and he immediately recognizes him as dad. And he gets carried away by two other actors and taken away on a bus before Truman can get to him.
Yeah. So there's a ton of stuff that happens before then.
I was a little confused though, like, how did the dad get onto set?
That's what I was wondering too.
I think like an offhanded comment about him like sneaking back on. They say he's not the first one. They're like, but you think they'd have better security?
And the way that they showed the other ones, like through a present, skydiving. I was like, how did this homeless man like wander onto set?
Yeah, but I guess he's been there before, so he would know how to, like,
right. Yeah, that's true.
After we see this, like, flashback of the dad drowning, we see Truman on the beach, and it starts to rain, but it's, like, just right over Truman's head.
Right.
And as he, like, runs, it's, like, the rain cloud in a cartoon, like, following him. So this is, like, the next weird thing that happens to him. He talks to his wife about wanting to have a baby, or about her wanting to have a baby.
Yeah, he wants to go on an adventure. Truman's all about, like, trying to find a way off the island, and he wants to go on an adventure very badly, and specifically to Fiji.
And she's like, well, what about our financial obligations? And like, she wants to have a baby. And we start to see, they start cutting to people watching the show.
Yeah, because she's like trying to coax Truman to bed.
Right, like, and we cut to these, that's gonna happen. She's, oh, you want to be an explorer? And we cut to these two guys who are like, oh, you never get to see anything. They always just like, you know, fade out.
I was thinking nowadays, the internet, there would totally be leaked footage. Don't you think that would
Yes. Yes, there would. But, or they would just show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the dad shows back up. Immediately, all of a sudden, there's this like pack of runners running in between them. A bus comes by. Like all these things start happening to like separate him from his dad.
So he goes to go see his mom. What do you think the actors do when they don't have scenes with Truman? Does the mother just hang out in this house?
Yes, right? Because what if Truman does still have some free will? Like what if he comes over?
That's where you have to suspend disbelief a little and not think too much about it, I think.
Yeah, or just assume that this is their whole lives. He tells his mother that he saw dad and she's like, oh, I think I see him all the time too. She kind of like brushes him off.
Yeah.
Did you see the crazy portrait she has of herself over her mantle? I love
yes,
it.
Yes. I totally caught that. I loved it. I love Colin Taylor.
I mean, it was really like gaslighting before we called it gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yes, exactly.
That's what like this whole movie is. They're gaslighting Truman.
Yeah. And she says, like, you know, you're just feeling bad about what happened, but I never blamed you. Yeah. Like, it's so horrific.
Just the layers of manipulation is so interesting to watch.
I don't understand how Truman has never noticed the way that they look into the camera when they do the product placements. Like, he doesn't notice that all of a sudden they, like, look away from him
with his whole life.
Bright eyes. And it's like, and he doesn't seem to notice that everyone talks to him like he's a child.
It's been going on his whole life. That's how he's always been treated.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I was wondering like about TV. So we saw him watch I Love Lucy, but I wonder if like they only have him watch 50s stuff. So it feel like it all looks like that.
Right. I think so. Probably.
Because I was wondering when this is supposed to be, when the Truman Show within the movie is supposed to be set, because everything looks like the 50s. When is it?
1995.
Because it looks, in the cutaways, it looks like in the people's...
Right, but in like the Truman world,
oh,
it looks
I
like...
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Like it what year does like, Truman what think it
Truman
is?
Truman think it is, right.
Interesting.
Because it's the 50s, but then when he goes to the travel agent, she has a computer.
True, yeah. So he probably thinks it's present day. Well, like, he's not going to know anything different.
Right.
He's not going to know any other technology than they want him to know about, you know?
It's wild, yeah.
Truman's, this is when he's in his basement, right?
Yes, and so we get... this flashback of him in college.
Is that college or high school? I thought that was high school.
It said college.
I thought it was high school at first, and then later on they said that, I think they said something about it being college.
And it says like Sea Haven College on the building.
Yeah, I went back and changed my notes because I actually thought it was high school at first too.
Because don't they have like cheerleaders, and it just looked very...
It looked very college-y, but it also looked very 1950s version of college too.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he like looks across the lawn and he sees this like pretty girl and they're kind of like exchanging glances.
He immediately likes her.
Yeah. He like has a thing for her. And then all of a sudden here's Laura Linney, Meryl. And she's like falling all over him and flirting with him. And like, it's obviously, you know, staged because they picked a wife for him.
And then cuts to the dance. Truman clocks the bracelet and then he recognizes that. And he sees who we learned to be is Lauren. It becomes obvious that a couple actors immediately are trying to put a stop to them looking at each other. And they pretty much like take her away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's wearing a pin that says, how's it going to end?
Yes. I love that. Which is funny, they let one of the actors wear that in there.
Yeah. So I guess once she's in with it, there's not like a whole lot they can do when Truman's around.
That's what I was wondering, because she keeps showing up in these places and they keep taking her away. And why don't you move her somewhere else on the island or like
fire? Why don't you just make her leave?
Yeah. He sees her in the library and he asks her out for pizza and she says they have to go now or else it won't happen.
Them running away from the camera, like remember when the camera's like panning the library trying to find Truman and you see them hurry out the back door? It was very like Shades of Eternal Sunshine, which is like one of my favorite movies, when they're trying to run away from like the program Erasing Memories. Remember Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind?
I've only seen it like once.
One of my confessions is that I've never seen Eternal Sunshine.
It's one of my favorite movies ever. It's so good.
I know. It's like one of those things that I, that and Lost in Translation, I've just like never seen. And I don't know if
Eternal Sunshine's better. It's just such a different movie than from like anything you watch. This whole idea of you can erase memories and like all these people like trying to erase either breakups or the waiting room was funny. Like my favorite was like there was a woman and it was like obviously like a box of dog stuff. So her dog, she just can't like, it's so interesting. And there's like all the people that work at the clinic. You like, get to learn more about them too.
I'll have to watch that again. What year did that come out? We should do an episode about that.
Early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, we were in college. Probably 2004.
So they're like running on the beach, they're holding hands, like it's so pure, like they're so sweet.
Yeah,
he says this is my favorite pizza place.
Yeah. And she says like, we have so little time, they're going to be here any minute, they don't want me talking to you.
And he says then don't talk, and they start kissing, and then all of a sudden this car like rolls onto the beach and she just starts like trying to tell him everything. She's like, everybody knows everything about you, they're pretending, everyone's pretending. And he of course has no idea what she's talking about. She tells him that her name is Sylvia.
She lifts up the sand and this is like kind of what makes her seem crazy. She like lifts up the sand. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's fake. It's fake. This is fake. And it's like, well, it's obviously sand. Not.
It's like, it's all for you. Everything is for you. And she's like, what? And the guy claims to be her father and she's sick. She's just crazy.
Schizophrenia is what he says.
Yeah. And he says they're going to move to Fiji. So that's where the obsession from Fiji comes from.
And then we see the diner waitress. Because we have like a few different locations that are watching him. We see like there's like these people in a diner,
but like a Truman Show diner.
People in a bar. There are like these two cute little old ladies who have like cumin pillows and like.
Oh yeah, I like them.
So we see the people in the diner, and the diner waitress tells us that he didn't follow her to Fiji because his mother got really sick. And then the bartender goes, we already have this moment on the Greatest Hits tape.
It let us know that they like cut in and out with flashbacks that the viewers see, that there's like this Truman fandom. But then there are also people that don't necessarily watch the show and don't know about it, because one of the waitresses at the, it's really like, I would say more of like a TGI Fridays than a diner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
like flare. Those TGI Friday flare outfits, exactly. Yeah. One of them is obviously like new there, and she's like, well, why didn't he follow her? At least to me, I took that as like, yeah, this is a popular show, but there's like a Truman Show fandom, then there are people who don't watch the show. Like, we're not like, supposed to believe
security guards
that.
Doesn't really know what's going on either.
Yeah. Exactly. We're not supposed to believe that like everybody on earth is watching this show like at all times.
Yeah, it's also like those soap operas that have been on for 30 years.
Yeah,
it's not 30 years. Like, if you just picked it up, if you're younger.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, like a daily soap opera. It was just 24/7. On the Truman Network, basically. But yeah, so at least like when I noticed that, I realized, because I think if they didn't do those cutaways or they didn't have like the waitress be like, well, what happened? We could be assuming like everybody on planet Earth at all times is watching the Truman Show.
Right.
At least my takeaway was like, this is just like a regular show that's on its own network and it's on all the time, but like not everybody watches it.
Like American Idol. We just talked about American Idol and how at one point that was like the biggest show in the world and it felt like every single person watched it, but like not everyone did.
Yeah. Almost everyone, but not everyone. Did not watch it.
Neither did I.
Oh, neither did I. We just interviewed Constantine Maroulas for this interview and he wanted for this podcast and he wanted to talk to us about Game of Thrones and we both had to be like, we didn't watch it. Yeah.
I watched the first season not that long, like a couple years ago, and I was like, I don't like this. I watched
the first episode, and I did not like it, and my brother put it perfectly. I was, like, texting him while we were watching. I was like, do you watch Game of Thrones? And he was like, no, that show's too rapey for me.
It's too rapey, 100%. There were, and I can watch a show with a lot of characters, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a big fan of David Simon's shows, who has, like, 9,000 characters on all of his shows, but it had a lot of characters that I did not care about. So I just, like, could not be...
Right.
Like,
I stopped watching Walking Dead. I didn't care about any of the characters left, so I'm like, why am I watching this if I don't care about
it? It was also, like, honestly not what I thought I was getting into when we decided to turn it on. I thought it was, like, a historical fiction show.
Yeah, it was too... I don't like fantasy. I don't really like battles. Like, the elements really speak to me, but I think I could have watched it if it was, like, just following certain storylines, you know what I mean? Like, certain storylines were like interesting to me, and then like a storyline I didn't like would come on, I'd be like, I hate this show. I got through season one, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna watch the rest of this, no point.
Yeah, good for you for having a mind of your own, Liz.
So we see Truman, and he has a framed picture of his wife. He's in the basement. And then behind the picture of his wife, he sees that he's been putting, he has like this creepy collage of like pieces of women's faces from men. If it was
romantic or serial killer.
Disgusting. And I can't believe they don't make a bigger deal out of it.
I think we're supposed, okay, first of all, I think it's important for us to remember that this is a mostly pre-internet show, mostly pre-internet movie. So when audiences watched this in 1998, it wasn't that insane to like not have a picture of someone.
Oh yeah, because I think it's just pieces of other pictures. Oh, come
the way he's like tying on the different pieces.
Yes,
and
yes, yes. Like it's psychotic. Don't get me wrong, but I think the reason that we as the audience are not supposed to make a bigger deal out of it is because I think when you watch this in 1998, like, I don't know, I think there's an extra layer of it being crazy and creepy to us because we just don't live in a world where we can't access pictures of people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, then we see Sylvia and she's watching him do it on TV and she's like emotional, but she's like okay with it. She's not like creeped out by it.
So I would like, okay, as part of like the world building of this, I would like to know more about the Truman protesters.
Me too. I wish they showed more of that. I really would have liked to see that.
This could have been actually what this show would have been really good as, an HBO miniseries.
Yeah.
6 episodes. That's it. Not a whole season or even 4 like hour and a half long episodes. There was just such a world in this movie. And like I said, I think this is one of the most brilliant screenplays from a storytelling aspect, like having nothing to do with the way it's filmed and the cinematography and the acting, just like the originality and the world building of this is so fucking brilliant. It's so brilliant that this would have worked so well as like a 4 to 6 part miniseries.
Yeah.
Could have gotten into it. But at the same time, it's, I think, easier to make a movie like this where we're just like, eh, let's just suspend a belief on this.
Right.
The more you get into it, the harder I think it actually is to do. Even though we feel like there's so much to offer, I think that actually can make it harder in a way because then they have a lot of continuity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, you can kind of you don't have to worry about continuity so much. You can kind of blow past those questions.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I would still like to see more about, like, the best friend, the wife,
what their lives were like when they're not with Truman.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're all going on the on the late show. Like,
that would be so funny to see. Even the guys like Paul Giamatti's character and the other guy that we see at the end that are working in production. We'd be, like, interested to see them, too, more often.
Yeah, I realize this must have been pre-Sideways. What year did Sideways come out?
I feel like that was
like early 2000s. I think we were in college because my parents saw Sideways and then my dad got obsessed with wine for a long time.
His parents didn't. Like, our parents like were revolutionized by the movie Sideways.
Yeah, because Paul Giamatti wasn't well known when he did this.
No.
Minor character.
That was his breakout, Sideways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably one of his biggest ones.
I feel like in my head, Sideways feels like very 2002 to 2003.
You're probably in the right area.
Yeah.
So this is, Paul Giamatti was, I mean, and he was good in this, but he was definitely, if I can see him just being like, this was like
not a household name.
Yeah, this was obviously like a great gig for him to get, but he's definitely not the star of this movie or even like supporting actor.
So we see Truman at this point driving to work and his radio starts to act goofy and he can hear the control room. They're narrating where he's driving.
Yes. So this is like, I would say where the movie kind of starts to climax. Like this is where everything kind of starts to tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie picks up. I will say, I thought this movie was only like an hour 45 long, right? Like it wasn't a very long movie. I thought the pacing was really good.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I was actually surprised when I got to, because like I said, I kind of listened to this in the car and I was driving to yoga after work. And I was like kind of surprised by the time I pulled into my yoga studio that we're like already at this point. Mm-hmm. Shit, like this movie moves.
Yeah, I didn't start it until 9 o'clock last night, which is like very late for me. I have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like not, like if it had been a slower paced movie or if it hadn't been like as good of a movie, I would have been like looking at the clock, like I gotta go to bed. Like when is this gonna be over? But I was like in it the whole time. It was good.
The radio thing, which he then escalates them like and really like pushes the story along and really is like the catalyst for Truman like starting to melt down, like happens pretty early in the movie.
Yes, does. But then, like, all kinds of things happen really fast. So he's driving. He's, like, steps into the middle of traffic, and traffic, like, stops. He just starts, like, you see him, like, trying things. He, like, wants to see what'll happen if he, like, deviates. So then he runs. This is, like, for me, was one of, like, the creepier moments for some reason. He runs into, like, a random building that he doesn't
know. Oh, I love this. Yeah,
me too. And he tries to get on the elevator, and they keep trying to stop him. But he's standing there, and the elevator opens, and he sees, like, the backstage area. He sees, like, a crew table. He sees, like, crew members and a food table. And they, like, rush to get him out, and they rush to close the doors, and they tell him that they're remodeling. But, like, he knows it's not true. He knows there's something, like, crazy going on.
I specifically remember that scene from when I was a kid, and it's because I think I was, like, already into the world building aspect of it, and I was like, let's go in there.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I got a theory that actors all have shifts, and so, like when he goes, doesn't go to work, and he's just, like, people watching instead, there's probably shifts that there's always people in the cafe, there's always people in certain areas, because I was like, would they be there even if he's not there? But I guess they might would be probably like a shift.
Just in case. But I was thinking about the elevator, like, hey, where is it in my notes? There was something else that happened later, and I was like, oh, so we'll get to it in a minute. But just the whole world is so elaborate, they go so deep into so many things. They couldn't have a real elevator in that building. Like, why on the ground floor of the building?
Well, I think was that Truman would just never go in there, because think of you as a person, like, I never go, my building is in a complex, like my work building.
Yeah.
Like, I never go in any of the other work buildings ever, even though I go to my work building every single day.
Yeah, so that's what, like, I'm sure it's very expensive to put this all on. So they're like, yeah, we'll save money.
Well, it costs as much as running a nation, he says.
Oh, I missed that part. Yeah. See, there you go. You got to cut costs somewhere, so no elevators.
So he goes and he finds Marlon, who is at work stocking the vending machines, and he tries to explain.
Oh, wait. What's going on. I want to interrupt you. So this is, as I was watching this, I was thinking, like, what do they do when they're not with Truman? But Marlon's actually at work stocking a vending machine. Truman finds him stocking a vending machine.
We also all have radios.
Yeah, that's true.
We also all have radios and can talk to each other. So wouldn't it be like, get there right now? Like, that's where you're supposed to.
But he was, like, Truman knew where to find him in gear. Like, it seems like a small downtown area. I don't know. I just remember thinking when I was watching that, I was like, well, I guess, like, they really do have him work. Does he work all the time, or just, like, when they think Truman might find him, or what?
Not to jump ahead, when he's trying to go find his wife, I mean, she is at the hospital. She's a nurse. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. They have this whole elaborate thing. Like, they have, like, a whole surgery room set up.
Yeah.
But way down the hallway and around the corner, where there's, like, no reason to think Truman would ever be there.
Truman probably goes to the hospital, like, when he's sick.
Do they have real doctors for him?
That didn't look
that guy was not a real doctor.
No, that guy was not. But what about when
Truman himself? Yes, I'm sure Truman gets, like, a very nice real doctor.
I read that if you look when they're in Truman's bedroom on his bedside table, he has a bottle of vitamin D supplements, which he would need because he's never exposed to real sunlight.
Yeah, I read that too. That was a good one.
So he's trying to explain, like, everything to Marlon, and he says that he thinks a lot of people are involved, but he doesn't know who yet. So, like, it's sad because he obviously, like, still trusts Marlon. Like, he still doesn't think.
Yeah.
I would like to think Marlon is actually his friend, though. Right. Yeah, to be honest, in this part, this is when I started cooking dinner last night or the other night. So, go ahead, Jess.
Marlon to, like, drink some beers and, like, look at the water, and he's trying to, like, calm him down. And this is when Truman asks him about when he was gone for that summer, like, selling chicken or whatever.
Right.
And Marlon says that he went all over, but he never found a place like this. We see Truman then with his mom and his wife, and they're looking through a photo album from when Truman was a kid.
I love this.
One of them at Mount Rushmore. That's
it,
like,
it looks so little.
Right. Obviously, he's like, it was a long ride. You slept the whole way.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, they drugged Truman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oy. I didn't catch, but they reference it later. He looks at his wedding picture.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
And
I did.
Frozen on their hands. And it's that her fingers were crossed.
Yeah. Right. So she's going like this. But, like, if I saw that, I would be like, oh, that's weird.
So he's, like, trying to talk to her, and she says that she has to get to work because she has to do surgery from the elevator accident.
Yeah. It was terrible.
For an amputation. Yeah. And so he says he'll cross his fingers for her. And she, like, pauses for a second, like, almost like she knew exactly where that came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my question is, why would she cross her fingers at all in the wedding thing?
She doesn't love him. But yeah, she's acting. True. Oh, yeah. Good point. You're acting. So, like, people in movies aren't, like, crossing their fingers.
She has sex with him. She can't, like, fake a marriage vow.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of like, why would she do that?
Right.
I have a made-up backstory where she's in love with Marlon.
Interesting.
Because I also said, I'm like, I bet she has a lot of affairs around town.
Must, yeah.
Yeah, if she doesn't love Truman, like, you know, I'm sure she doesn't, like, enjoy having sex with him.
And he says that to her. I think this is the section where he says it. She says, like, I love you or something like that to him. And he's like, you can't stand me. And she, like, pauses and brushes it off. So he trails her to work on his bike.
And I thought this was kind of funny, this whole scene when he goes to work.
He goes to the hospital and they say that he can't see her because she's in pre-op. And he says to tell her that he's off to Fiji and he'll call when he gets there.
And I love that he, like, then he kind of moves past her. So he sneaks down that surgery aisle going down the hallway. And I love that it cuts to the actors and they know he's coming and they're all kind of freaking out because they're like, yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah. So they're all trying to block him like they always do. And he gets there and he's watching the surgery. To the point, and we hear someone in the operating say, like, he's here. And then the doctor, like, has to start to, like, make this incision because he's standing there and the body, like, pops up.
Yeah. And that's when, like, a security guard comes by. He's like, no, you can't see this, and, like, closes the blinds. And then the doctor, can someone else clean this up, please? Like, that's funny. Like,
then he goes to the travel agent, and he's asking about going to Fiji, but she tells him that there are no flights to Fiji for at least a month, which is funny. I was thinking, like, this is another, like, pre-internet thing, because, of course, Truman can't just, like...
Yeah, get to Fiji.
Jump online and, like, get a flight. Travel agents were like...
I love the fear-mongering posters that the travel agency had up, being like, why leave? Planes, they're going to crash.
That's funny.
Here's another question, though. Why have a travel agency at all?
Right, that's a good question. He doesn't even need to know that that's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice, she kind of runs in and she has, like, a napkin underneath, like, her shirt. So it's, like, obviously someone's like, get in there now.
Like, but, like, if you're Christoph, well, I guess Christoph's whole thing is that he wants Truman, the audience, to feel like Truman does have the ultimate choice. Mm-hmm. And
that's what I thought.
Ultimate choice. And then, but, like, manipulate him into not making it.
Because the audience doesn't realize he's being manipulated not to leave.
He doesn't have a choice when he doesn't know.
Yeah, but I think Christoph wants him to know and to make the choice. I think that's, like, part of...
Yeah, like, he kind of says that, like, a little later on.
Yeah, like, I think that's, like, part of why Christoph thinks he's such a genius, is that, like, he's convinced Truman, even though, like, he knows about travel and maps, and, like, they could have in school taught him that this is the only place on planet Earth and that there are no other people on planet Earth.
He would never know.
And he would never know. And
I think wild. Jared and I used to, my husband and I used to talk before we had kids about, like, when we have kids, what are, like, weird things we can teach them that, like, they would never know the difference. You can tell kids whatever you want.
And you know, like, what? Tell us what.
I'm trying to think of, like,
I told my nieces that you have to sing Hey Mambo Italiano if you want more pasta, and that it's so
and now that's like that.
They're like, no, it's not. And I was like, call the police. I was like, I work for lawyers, which they know I do. Yeah. And they were like, no. And I said, call the police right now and ask them. I said, they're going to arrest you. But yeah, so I like to tell my nieces that type of stuff. But the only thing is I have to realize that I have to be careful with it because then they won't believe me when I tell them, like, real stuff.
Good point.
Yeah. But I love to, like, lie to them and then egg them on with it where I'm like, call the police.
The police are, like, the ultimate authority on everything.
Yeah, they know. And I'm like, you don't think I know the law? So yeah, they could do that. But I think that goes against Christoph's vision. I think that would be too easy. I think the whole point is that Christoph is, as God, is obsessed with the idea of, this would be my guess. And I think that this is, like, the allegory of the whole movie, right? Is allegory the right word? I don't know. But this is, like, the point of the whole movie, is that, like, we think we have freedom of choice, but we're being constantly manipulated by outside sources. Mm-hmm. And that every choice we make is actually the result of, like, the manipulation that we face from the media, our parents, our significant others, like, so the choices that we're making, like, are their own choices, which I think is absolutely, like, a philosophical question of humankind. Like, if there's a God, do we have free will? Like, if there's a God, why do we have free will? Like, What is free will? How do humans have free will? Free will is what sets us apart from animal. You know what I mean? Like that. So I think that for Christoph, if we're to believe that Christoph sees himself as God, and in my opinion, we're as the audience supposed to see Christoph as God, which is why, like at the end, he like welcome, you know, he greets Truman.
I literally put in my notes when he talks to Truman, it's a God voice.
It's God. And they specifically show us like him playing with the weather and the lights and like, so Christoph is definitely God. And as the audience, we're supposed to see him that way. And I think what we're supposed to take away from the audience, I think if they made it so Truman didn't know what the world, you know, like didn't know there was a world, didn't know you could travel, I think that that would make it too easy.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that like that's a good point. All well put. Definitely.
He ends up, he can't get a flight to Fiji, so he ends up getting on a train to Chicago. This is where the little girl recognizes him.
Yeah, the bus.
Yeah, the bus. The bus. Yeah.
Well, right. First he tries to get on the ferry, and he can't get on the ferry because he's too scared.
Right.
So the bus, it's like you could tell the bus, so like the bus, quote unquote, breaks down, or there's like an issue, so the bus can't leave. And you could see like the bus driver like genuinely feels bad for Truman.
Yeah, and like, Truman, like everyone gets off the bus, and Truman like stays sitting there, and the driver is just kind of like, you know, sorry.
Yeah, because he knows what he's trying to do and that it's probably not going to happen for him.
We see the people in the bar and they're talking about like why he would want to go to Chicago. Like we see them like again, like recalling all these details of his life. They're like, was it his dad from Chicago? No, it was, you know, whatever. So Meryl comes home and Truman is sitting in the car and he makes her get in. And he's predicting, he's like, you know, a lady on a red bike is going to go by, then a man with flowers, then a yellow bug. And he points out to her that it's on a loop. Mm-hmm. Why is it on a loop?
Yeah, that, and also like if they're listening in, why didn't they have the bug not drive by?
Right.
Good point. Well, I guess this is where you have to suspend disbelief. Right. Like you have to just imagine people, like I said, like people probably have schedules. So it's like, okay, you're for the next hour, you're riding this bike for like, you know, for 2 hours, you're going to sit in this cafe with this person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, imagine everyone's like scheduled out.
So she tells him that if he really wants to go to Fiji, they should save money for a few months and then they can go. And he locks her in the car and he says, let's go now. And he takes off like speeding down the roads.
Yeah. And he's like totally freaking Meryl out. She's never seen him act this way before.
And he says, he points out to her that they're blocked every time they try to turn. And she goes, you're blaming me for the traffic. And he goes, should I?
I like the moment where he's like, help me. Someone help me. I'm being spontaneous.
So he's like driving like a maniac and then he circles back to the same road where there was just all that traffic and now there are no cars there. So they get to the bridge and he stops and she says, you know, you can't drive over water. And he puts her hands on the wheel and he slams on the gas.
Yeah. And he has his eyes shut tight, forcing her to like steer over the bridge.
They go flying over the bridge. There's a sign warning them that it's like a high risk of forest fires. And then all of a sudden flames pop up across the road. He drives right through them and like literally nothing happens to them.
So then sirens start sounding in the distance and there's like a leak at the plant. And, but the cop calls
the plant and then the cop walks up and goes, there's a leak at the plant.
Yeah. And the cop knows Truman by name. Truman gets freaked out even more and he runs into the woods and he's caught by like the spaceman looking guys that
very are E.T. The plant.
Yes, it is. It is very E.T.
And so they wrestle him to the ground. So then there's like this super bizarre scene. We see him at home. Oh, this is where Truman asks her why she's with him because she can't stand him. And she says, that's not true. And then she does her little ad for Coco.
Well, I think she did that because she was like having a breakdown herself.
I think she just didn't know how to react to him because you could tell she's a little like getting unhinged herself after that.
She starts to do like her whole like thing for the Coco and he goes like, who are you talking to? And she doubles down. She's like, I've tasted other Cocos and this is the best. And then he realizes that she's in on it.
Yeah, I think the other ad placements they show us throughout the thing are actually pretty clever. When she's like, look what I got.
Yeah.
And when she's like, why don't you throw out that mower and get a whatever brand?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think this was supposed to be us understanding that Meryl is having her own breakdown.
Right. Yeah. So she takes the chef's pal, whatever the knife thing she bought earlier in the movie. As they're kind of struggling with it, she like screams right into one of the cameras, do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he said, who are you talking to?
And then she yells, I don't know how. Oh, so then Marlon shows up with a six pack and she runs and hugs him and she goes, I don't know how they expect me to carry on under these conditions. It's unprofessional.
That was so, I thought Laura Linney was so brilliant in that scene when she was just like, this is unprofessional.
So she said she studied a lot of like 1950s Sears catalogs to get down like just the idea of the character.
Incredible in this movie. Like, I love Laura Linney in general. I think she's really great. I'm a big fan of hers. But she did such a good job at that, like, Stepford wife, like, smiling through him being, like, crazy, like...
But with that undertone where you know it's all fake and that she's really this other person.
And also, like, pushing back at him a little bit, not just being, like, his totally complacent wife, but when she was like, Truman, if we traveled, we'd be back 5 years. You want to be back where we were 5 years ago?
Right.
So, like, you would do that to your mother? So, like, fighting with him a little bit. So, like, not being actually, like, a perfect Stepford wife. I just thought she did so good with it. And, like, wearing the nurse's uniform most of the time.
Yeah. The little hat. So, Marlon, like, takes him to, like, drink the beers and calm down. And he tells Marlon that he feels like the world revolves around him somehow. And we see for the first time in the control room that Christoph is telling him what to say.
And is this where he said, like, if everyone's faking it, that means I'm faking it too?
Yeah, he says, if everyone's in on it, I'd have to be in on it too. And I'm not in on it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad his best friend has to lie to him.
Yeah. And then he tells him that they found his father. And this, like, big dramatic scene, the father, like, emerges from the fog.
I actually wrote in my notes at this point, ask Liz and Jessica if they could watch any reality star do a Truman Show, what would it be? Or who would it be? Like, which reality star could, like, you just, like,
just get to watch them unedited for 24 hours? Yeah,
just, like, going about their day.
I would like to see, off the top of my head, I would like to see Bethany Frankel, because I think she self-edits a lot.
That's and a good I'd
be
one.
Very curious if I could see her without cameras.
Yeah, and I was thinking Ramona would be funny, too, just to see Ramona go about her day.
I think Ramona would be funny, but I think you would be, like, I think Ramona is kind of exactly who you think she is.
Yeah.
But Bethany, I can't tell if she's good or evil a lot of the times. Like, I go so back and forth on, like, if I think Bethany is a good person or an evil person. Not, I don't really even have, like, an in-between. Like, I just am unsure of that. So that would be definitely a Bethany Frankel. But also, like, Janelle Evans. I just want to see, like...
Yeah, that's who I was going
to
say.
Unedited, like, uncontrolled. I would like to see that.
Well, especially right now. It'd be very
right. Just say, like, in light of recent events, I would like to know what actually goes on.
Yeah.
Ooh, yikes. So, his father comes out of the fog, and we see the two old ladies, and they're holding Truman pillows, and they have, like, Truman, like, commemorative plates on the wall behind them.
Yeah, and super fans.
I noticed at this point that they have someone playing the music live in the control room.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I wrote, it's everyone's loving it at home, but it's all manufactured, just like reality TV today. Right. Like, we'll love it and cry and everything,
it's
but
like crying. So everyone's like cheering and crying. At this point, I found myself wondering how this is legal. Like, I know they adopted him, but like, he's an adult now. They're holding him captive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're not supposed to.
We're not supposed to wonder that.
No, I think we are supposed to wonder that, but I think they, like, on purpose didn't give us that answer.
I actually wrote down in my notes that he's in the ultimate conservatorship because he can't do anything without being someone else's decision. And, like, it's like the Sylvia, she's throwing free Truman rallies. She's starting the free Truman movement.
You're not wrong. But I definitely do think that that's, like, that we're not – like, I agree. I was thinking the same thing. And that's why I wanted to know more about, like, the Free Truman people. I think that that's where, like, we're just not supposed to think that deep into it because they just can't give us all those answers or else the movie would be, like, because in a way, like, I want more answers. And like I said, I would love to see this as a miniseries. But, and it sucks as, like, they can never make it a miniseries today. Like, this had to come out in the 90s for as poignant as it is now. I think they on purpose just, like, don't get bogged down in the details of that because I think it would be too much. I think the movie, like I said, like, moves really quickly. The pace is very fast. And I think that they give as little information as needed and nothing more to like not get bogged down in the details.
At this point in the movie, they do almost like a Truman recap show.
Yeah, this was great, I thought. And I think on rewatch, I guess I'd forgotten that this wasn't until like almost the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Because I've always thought this was like more the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So did you see that the security guys in the control room are wearing t-shirts that say love him, protect him?
No, I didn't clock. Yeah. Oh, that's almost like a little dark though. Protect.
Very.
Conservatorship. They think they're protecting, but they're really,
So yeah. They do this like kind of recap and we see that they're in the lunar room. We see that the control room is the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some like kind of information about like how it works. They tell us that like the structure they're in where his town is can be seen from space.
They show us it behind the I love that they just like had it plop behind the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. Well, that's why his last name's Burbank is because that's where it's being filmed. And a lot of the characters in the movie, they have actor names like Meryl Streep. I think
Marlon Brando.
Lauren Garland. It's Judy Garland and Lauren Bacall. Yeah, Marlon. Yeah, there's and
probably apparently Truman Capote.
Right, and there's like Barrymore Street. There's like a couple other streets there. I think it's like named after an old movie star.
Interesting.
Which of course Truman like wouldn't know. He wouldn't.
Yeah. Right.
They show us. They're talking about like the father coming back, and they say that there have been like other times that someone from the outside.
I just loved this whole little montage because this to me is the most interesting part, the world building, the details that they don't want to get bogged down in, but I'm like, drown me.
Right. Exactly. No, I like all this stuff too.
They show like someone jumping out of a Christmas box when he's a kid. They show a parachuter. They say that this is the first time that it was a former cast member, but they decided to write him back in.
Yeah.
And they use the old soap opera standby, amnesia.
So we are, I think with that line, we are supposed to understand that this is a soap.
Yeah. I mean, really, yeah.
And they show us that Truman wanted to be an explorer when he was a kid, which is so sad.
By the way, I do want to say, just before we get there, it's very interesting that we're supposed to understand that this is a soap opera, because in my opinion, reality TV has replaced soap operas.
Yes. Agreed.
And what all of our, you know, our moms have their stories, but like Real Housewives are our stories.
Yeah, right. 100. Yeah.
Like who watches, nobody watches soap operas anymore, but we all watch, you know, the Real Housewives, like, to me, like, reality TV is very much the modern day soap opera, like, very much so. Yeah. It has all of the same elements from soap operas that we love and a lot of the same characteristics where you can miss three episodes, pop back in, you can miss two whole seasons and pop back in. Like, not that much happens. It's just a lot of fighting and drama, but, like, not an actual lot of plot line and storyline. Right.
That's why, like, some of, like, the shows where people are like, why is this still on, like, OC? Like, this hasn't been good. Why is it still on? It's, like, because you could have it on in the background and, like, cook dinner and get the highlights, but, like, you know, you're not really having to pay attention to it.
Exactly. So,
My dad worked on a soap opera when I was a kid. It was my favorite thing. He did camera on Another World, and I used to get to go sometimes. I never watched the show. I only knew what was happening if I was like happened to be there for a day and like saw.
Was that the one Lindsay Lohan was on?
Yes, she was. And every time, I just remember every time we would go there, we would get bagels because there was a really good bagel place. They filmed in Brooklyn. There was a really good bagel place across the street. And they would always give me and my brother, they always have like breakaway glass on hand, like the sugar glass bottles. And they would always let us take those home to like play with.
Oh, Jessica, first of all, my sister Bridget texted me twice to tell me about two friends that really like our podcast.
Oh, really? We don't want anyone to know, but we do want everyone to like it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, we have good podcast voices, apparently.
Really? Thanks, Bridget. I'm obsessed with Siobhan's sister Bridget. I think she's the coolest. Christoph tells us someone calls in and asks how many cameras they have. They have people like calling in to this show. And Christoph says they have about 5,000, but it started with just one in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they explain that he was an unwanted pregnancy. There were 5 potential babies, but he was the one who was born on time.
He was born 2 weeks early, actually. Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, like, Truman and, like, his world. And Christoph says, we accept the reality of the world with which we are presented.
Yes, which is the thesis of the movie.
Right,
Did you guys hear about these, like, I guess like 10 years ago, there was like a study put out. I wish I could remember where it was from now. And people like had Truman Show complexes and people thought they were being, Yeah, and it was like the same idea. It was like they thought everything was a show around them. Like everybody was watching them.
I have read about that, which is interesting, and it shows how influential media is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our minds.
One person like went to the top Statue of Liberty thinking that they're going to get reunited with their long lost love or something.
Oh.
Like people doing all these crazy things like that.
It's just like a manifestation of a mental health that would have, if the Truman Show movie never came out, like it would have been something else.
Yeah, correct. Right. I agree. Is this when Sylvia calls in?
Sylvia calls. And she calls Christoph a liar and a manipulator. And she says that what he's done to Truman is sick. And he remembers her voice immediately.
Does. Well, I think this woman is like always, they knew to play that recap. They know that he's always been in love with her, which is really cruel to know this man's always been in love with this girl and to like purposely keep her.
Yeah. And they're like, So he tells her that she doesn't really know him. She has no right to judge. And he says that he gave Truman a normal life. It's the real world that's a sick place.
Which,
like, yeah. Complex.
And in a way, Truman is protected from the woes of the world.
Yeah. He really is. He doesn't know any major disasters or, like, something, if something like 9/11 happened, which would have happened a few years later.
Exactly.
He hadn't known anything about it.
Truman, we see him the next morning. He wakes up and he's looking in the mirror, which, like, of course, is a camera. And the guys in the control room are watching and they almost call Christoph because they feel like he's looking at them, like he knows. But then he starts drawing a space helmet around his face with the soap, and he's like,
all that was improvised apparently. Right.
And then when he's done, he looks right at the camera and he goes, that one's for free.
Ooh, love that.
He leaves for work. We see the same two guys back him up against the wall, but now it's a house for, it's an ad for like a housing like community. And they introduce this new coworker, Vivian, and you, like, kind of get the sense that they're going to phase out his wife and that Vivian is supposed to be, like, the new
girl. Christoph says that. He says, he's like, you know, there's going to be an upcoming episode where she leaves him and there's going to be a new love interest introduced. So that's her. So
that's a clearly Vivian.
We're definitely supposed to understand that, like,
yeah.
Which is funny because Meryl and then this new girl don't look anything like the one girl that they know he's in love with.
No, I know.
So I wonder why they didn't, like, try and recreate that.
We see the control room again, and I just noticed, like, did you guys notice there was a guy riding an exercise bike in there?
I did.
Yes.
What's he doing?
I think the idea is that we're supposed to understand that, like, this is a 24-hour
okay, yeah.
And also, I think at that point, he was sleeping, Truman, so they're thinking, oh, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, there's a lot, like, that's
the workout in.
Like, so we're supposed to understand there's a lot of monotony in running this show.
So they say that since Meryl left, Truman has been in the basement. So they're watching this footage of him sleeping, and they can hear him snoring.
Yeah. Wait, I wanted to point out that they did show him mowing the lawn, and he got that lawnmower that she was mentioning.
Yes, he did.
Oh, good one. I missed that.
I think I was at home by that point watching him.
That was a visual cue. You got that one. Like, Christoph just, like, has a sense that something's wrong. So he tells Chloe, his, like, assistant, to call Truman and just, like, say it's a wrong number. And she calls and he doesn't answer. So they start watching the footage back and they see him kind of sneak out through some trap door.
And but they think he's still in the basement, actually.
Right. They think he's around, but it seems like this is probably the first time ever that they don't know exactly where he is.
Yeah.
So they send Marlon over. He's looking all over for him. He pulls back the covers and Truman's not there. He has like this like plastic snowman and a recording of someone snoring.
It's very, very Ferris Bueller.
Very Ferris Bueller.
So he starts, Christoph is like directing him around the house. He's looking all over
and he's telling him to keep it light because he's like, oh, come out, wherever you are. And he's like, that's right, keep it light. He doesn't want anyone to freak out.
Yeah.
So he opens a closet and he sees a hole in the ceiling that goes up to the backyard. And he climbs
up the hole.
Shawshank up in.
Yeah.
He climbs up the hole, and then Marlon looks right into the camera and says, he's gone. And Christoph goes, cut transmission.
Yeah.
Now, I read that the director of this movie originally wanted to have, you ready? He wanted to have cameras installed in all of the movie theaters where this movie would be playing. And when the transmission on the Truman Show cut, he wanted it to flash to a shot of the audience. And then flash back into the movie.
That's fucking incredible.
Right?
That would have been great.
People would have lost their shit.
I would literally scream in the movie theater, I'm sure.
They should have done that for, like, in like 5 or 6 theaters, like on premiere night. You know what I mean? Like on opening night. They should have done that.
That's incredible. So the transmission gets cut and people are going nuts. Like, this has never happened before.
Yeah.
All the actors are like now military personnel. They're all very, they're all searching
with the linked arms.
Yeah, it's all very like military.
Got the moon going like a searchlight. We see that sweet Dalmatian that lives next door to him, and now all of a sudden it's like snarling like a police dog.
Do you think they have this already in place?
It like seemed like it, like some kind of emergency plan.
Yeah,
if they ever I think they must have had a contingency plan, you know. Right.
And at this point, they must know the jig is up. Because if Truman didn't know before, he definitely knows now. Like, you don't send the whole town out searching for a 30-year-old man who's been gone for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
So they can find him. They're, like, looking through all through the town. Now, I read that there was a scene that was deleted where we see Marlon find him and then let him go. And that's how we know that, like, Marlon really does, like, care about him as a friend.
I think that would have been interesting, but I also, I feel like it's kind of unnecessary.
It would like, Marlon ruined, like, the gravity of the last moments, I feel like.
Yeah, and also just, like, who cares if Marlon really cared about him?
Like, yeah, at this point, that's, like, not really the point.
We would have had to make Marlon more of, like, a central character to really make it different.
I think we care a little, and, like, it's interesting, and if that they left that in, like, it would have been fine. But hearing about that, I'm like, okay. Like, I don't need to know if Marlon, like, really cares about Truman or not. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's, like, not, that's, like, so far away from, like, the extremely powerful ending that this movie has.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I did not need to see that as well.
Right. Which is why they cut it, probably.
Yeah. Make me an editor.
So they can't find him. And Christoph goes, cue the sun. And it's the middle of the night. And here's, like, another, like, reference to him being God. It's the middle of the night. And the sun just flies up.
Wait, do you guys watch Law & Order SVU? A
little bit.
Because there's one episode where this is later in the series, obviously, where a girl goes missing. And do you remember the game? I think it was called Half-Life in real life, where it was, like, a 24/7 role-playing computer game.
Oh, they play that on The Office. That's the only reason I know about it.
Second Life? Is that what you're talking about?
Second Life, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a business, but for all day?
Yeah. And that you, like, are yourself in it, unlike The Sims, where you're playing characters. You know what I mean? Like, you can be yourself in it. There's an episode where they spoof kind of Second Life, and they're, like, in, not in the video game, but they're with, like, the video game controller, and they're like, you have to make it daytime. And they're like, we would never make it daytime when it's not. And, like, force them to make it daytime, and all, like, the little the people playing the characters are like, what's happening? And that's, like, exactly what happened in the Truman Show. So shout out to all my SVU heads. I think the episode is called, oh shit, I know it, but I believe it's in season 10. I can't remember the episode off my head, but it's definitely in season 10. And it's not a very good episode, so you don't need to watch it.
All right. We just got the most important part. Liz Bentley, recapping shows so we don't have to watch them. They bring the son up. They tell us that there's, like, a rumor circulating in the media that he's dead. People are going nuts. And so now they put everyone back in their first positions for the day. And we see them all just, like, standing there frozen, like, waiting to walk.
They're, like, in mid-movement, like, too. It's, like, not even just frozen standing. They're, like, in mid-movement.
They're, like, it's, like, a tableau, that's, like, ready to, like, come to life. On the monitor in the control room, they see Truman out on a sailboat. And
well, that's what Christoph realizes, they weren't watching the sea. And so that's when they start moving towards the sea.
Yeah.
So they find him and they resume transmission. They ask the bus driver to be the ferry captain and drive the boat out there. And he can't drive the boat because he's an actor.
I'm just an actor.
He has the photo that he put together of Lauren / Sylvia. He has that with him. And she's watching too. I think we see that she's watching.
So they're, So they're like, how do we stop him? And we see Ed Harris and Paul Giamatti kind of like exchange this look. And then Paul Giamatti says that they're going to need to access the weather controls.
Yes.
They're going to put a big storm right over him. And Ed Harris says he's going to get scared and turn around.
Which he doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
So the storm is like raging. It's getting really violent. Paul Giamatti says we can't let him die in front of a live audience. And Christoph says he was born in front of a live audience.
That was crazy.
Yeah. It made me think about how we talk about the way that like MTV just like airs the way that Janelle abuses her children. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. do not interfere. It's, we're shooting a documentary. It's not our job to interfere. God,
so dark. Do you remember when Reddit did the AMA with the cameraman from Teen Mom?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, that was the most epic AMA ever.
And Leah's daughters like ate off the floor.
That's the part I always remember about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so bad. He wanted to call CPS, but they're not allowed to or something.
Yeah.
Truman yells up at the sky, is that the best you can do? You're going to have to kill me. So Christoph says to tip the boat over. And the crew like doesn't want to do it. Like Paul Giamatti is crying. Yeah.
He refuses. Like he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. This is like, what's that sociology thing where they like were recreating the Holocaust and they
had people hit
the buzzer to study and they had people like hit the buzzer.
What?
There's like a study where they were trying to mimic the results in Nazi Germany and figure out if people would just follow orders. They would have somebody, this was actually also, there was also an episode of SVU that talked about this. Everything's been on SVU. They had people like in a separate room and they'd like hit the buzzer and the buzzer shocks the person or so they think. And they would like see how extreme they could get the person hitting the buzzer to hit it. Like just based on orders. Does that make sense? Like basically like ordering someone to do harm.
I'm going to Google that tomorrow.
It's just a famous sociological experiment. Because they were trying to figure out like, cause just like how far humans will follow orders without pushing back.
Hmm.
Even if they believe that they're harming someone, like if they're listening to a person in authority.
Right.
And I believe that it was like a professor with his students. So they like felt like they had to. And that's what this kind of reminded me of, like how far will these humans go under this authority?
Right. They do it. It's like raging. We see him like drowning. He's underwater for a long time. And then finally, Christoph says, that's enough. They turn the storm off and we see Truman kind of like hanging over the side of the boat. And they, for a second, it looks like he's dead, but then he sits up.
Mm-hmm.
And he raises the sail. It's a white sail. And it's like, in my mind, it was like he was like raising the white flag.
Yeah, like I'm done. I give up.
And then he hits the back wall of the set.
Yeah. I freaking love that image so much of him. Because when you watch the movie for the first time, you're not realizing it's a wall.
Yeah.
Like, you think he's just sailing along and all of a sudden he cracks like the mast or whatever you call it.
You've already seen like the structure outside. So like, you know, you just don't think about it. But like, of course there's a wall.
Yeah. And there's like, it's all sky blue with the clouds painted on and everything.
I was so fake once he hits
it. I've never cried over this movie before. He's trying to like break it down and he's like punching and screaming and like throwing himself against it.
So good.
And then he walks across the water and by the wall, it's only like so deep.
We can't just like ignore that he walked across the water because as I said, I think this is very much like a God allegory.
Son of God, yeah.
And then he's kind of Christoph's son because Christoph considers him his son. Mm-hmm. Christoph considers himself God. And then at the end, Truman literally walks on water. And they show, they pan out. To like show
right. So I don't see the image of him like walking across
like,
the water.
Like we're definitely supposed to know like he is walking on
water. I never thought about that before, but it is. It's a really good image.
It's so true with the Son of God thing.
In my opinion, like, we are, not that, like, Truman is Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We are supposed to think, like, Jesus. Like, Jesus. For sure. Like, this is all, like, a God thing.
So he walks, and he gets to a set of stairs that leads to a door, and it says exit.
I was thinking that they had to have that for, like, safety regulation.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you need to have at least,
fire safety, yeah.
So he opens it, and then Christoph comes on like, the God voice.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, you could see, like, the clouds are parting. They, like, focus in on the sky, and it really does seem like, like, a God-like voice coming.
So Truman says, who are you? And Christoph says, I'm the creator of a television show that gives
hope and joy. He says, I'm the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Pauses. Mm-hmm. And says, of a television show.
Oy. Like, yeah.
He didn't just say, like, I'm someone who created a television show.
Right. He says,
I am the creator.
Yeah, because he probably feels like I created this whole world. And apparently there was other things, like, all these other tidbits. Apparently, like, Truman Show is a big Emmy winner and, like, all that stuff.
I figured as much, like, that we were supposed to believe that.
He created this whole world. All these people are there because he said so, and they're doing all the things that he tells them to do.
So we are supposed to believe Christoph is the creator, capital T, capital C, not just the creator of a television show.
Right. And then Truman goes, then who am I? And he goes, you're the star.
I'd be like, okay, and I get back in the boat. Like, sail back. I'm like, I'm a star.
Well, my thing is, Christoph had to, like, at that point, doesn't Christoph have to pull the plug on it? Truman could not go back.
Yeah, he can't go back to, like, the world as he had known it. He's woke. Yeah.
Like, but Christoph, kind of tries to convince him, right? Yeah. He's telling him, like, he says, there's no more truth out there than there is in the world that we created for you. And he says that the only difference is that he doesn't have to be afraid in that world. And then Christoph says, one of, like, in my opinion, one of the best lines in the movie, Christoph is saying how, like, we know you so well, we know you better than you know yourself. And Truman says, you never had a camera in my head.
Mm, yes. And Christoph's even, like, stroking the screen, like, stroking Truman's head and hair. Like, you could see he feels very fatherly, but it's also just such, like, abusive undertones to go with it. Like, it's not really love that he's feeling.
And he says, you know, I've been watching you your whole life. And he goes through this whole thing about, like, I was watching when you were born. I was watching when you took your first steps, when you lost your first tooth. And Truman's just kind of, like, standing there. And finally, Christoph says, you know, say something. You're live to the whole world. And Truman turns around and he says, in case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And he takes a bow. And he walks through the door. And people are going crazy. They're, like, cheering, crying.
Sylvia's running out of her apartment to go greet him, we'd imagine.
Yes. And then, I think, like, the perfect, like, cap to this movie, they cease the transmission. And then we see the two guys in the parking garage who were so into it. And they're like, all right, what else is on?
I thought that was the perfect end. Perfect. Because, like I said, like, it just reminded us that the Truman Show was everything to Truman. But to everybody else, it was just a show they were watching.
Right. And it's also just the way we are as, like, an audience, being like, oh, it's over? Okay, what's next?
Yeah,
like,
what new can we consume? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that show ended. Okay, what's the next show we can go on to now?
Yeah, and also that was, like, pre-binge watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
What do you guys imagine happened to Truman when he left?
Oh, it's all I care about. Let me write this TV show.
Because they don't have to, like, relearn things, but, like, he really would kind of have to relearn life because everyone's always like, nice to him.
Yeah. He'd be like leading a cult, like a person who leaves a cult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Just with no exposure to the outside world, no really understanding of pop culture.
Life skills.
Very few life skills. Like, yeah, it would definitely be. Yeah.
Like one of those Amish kids going on Rumspringa.
Exactly. I was thinking of, like, FLDS.
What's FLDS?
The Fundamentalist Mormons, like the Sister
Wives. Oh, those. Yes, yes.
Right.
You have Sylvia to, like, help him through it.
Yeah. We're definitely supposed to believe that, like, Sylvia went and met him. But also it's interesting because he would be Truman, the most famous Truman Burbank.
Most famous man in the world, really.
He had no chance of a normal life.
Yeah, would love. But I also like that they did not go into it at all. I think it made the ending...
Oh, yeah. We don't need to see that either. Yeah. When Christoph was giving him the, like, speech being like, you know, I watched you your whole life and blah, blah, blah. I was like, so is this the speech the Teen Mom kids are getting when they're 18 and they can decide?
That's the one I'm giving them.
I watched you your whole life. You can't leave. I need more episodes. I need more content.
Yeah. I was telling Jared why, you know, I was saying that we were, like, doing this with, you know, he knows that I listened to a podcast about Teen Mom. It's like, you know, we're doing it with Liz Bentley, the girl who hosts the Teen Mom podcast, and I said, you know, because she always says Isaac lives in the Truman Show, and then when it was over, hi, he just walked in. When it was over, I was like, this movie is what? What do you mean?
I was saying hi, Jared.
Hey.
Oh, you're saying hi.
Yeah.
Charger. It's plugged in. Oh, it's plugged in next to the fireplace in that outlet. Downstairs.
No. I really do have to thank you, Liz, for not making me watch Teen Mom because I could just listen to the podcast. Because I really want to know, but I don't want to watch.
I'm really jealous. I wish I could do that.
You know, I was saying how, like, this movie darked me out so much, and he was like, well, yeah, when you look at it through, like, the Teen Mom glasses, like, of course.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, family vloggers, it's the same, you know, it's like even more because at least on MTV, they have like big camera crews. And you know what I mean? Like, it's so obvious with these family vloggers just have like this tiny little camera in their kid's face all the time.
Yeah. I toyed with the idea briefly of making a vlog of my kids just because they're like really funny. But that's exactly what it was. It was after like 3 days of it. I was like, I can't film every single freaking thing they do.
Yeah. You have a life to lead. You got stuff to do. Yeah. I remember when you tried that for 3 days.
Yeah. I got some cute videos out of it. I have a really cute video of Addie explaining how the Grinch stole Christmas.
Yeah, no, there were definitely some cute things.
And she's talking about how, and there were no mermaids there to help them.
Liz, where can we follow you on social media?
Okay, you can follow me on my Instagram account, which is, well, I have a personal Instagram account, which is BentleyLiz1, but really you should follow me on my podcast Instagram account, which is feathers_pod. And you can listen to me on my podcast, which is called Feathers in My Hair.
Mm-hmm. We highly recommend it. We love everything.
We do love appointment listening for me on Sundays.
Yeah. We love everything in the Emotionally Broken Psychos universe.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I was watching, Siobhan, I meant to tell you, I was watching Drunk History the other night and Malls was the guest.
Get out.
He was like the person.
Is this a new episode? Or
no, it's old. She dated the creator of the show for a few years, so it's not.
What? Y'all, what episode was it?
She talked about one of the, it was the first ladies episode, and she talks about,
all right, I'll have to,
who was the president who got married while he was president?
Buchanan, maybe?
Whoever it is, that's who she
I did see that episode, though, because that's the one Casey Wilson is, like, in that, too.
The girl from Arrested Development is in it. Maybe I think from Arrested Development.
I think I did see that. So I'll have to go back and watch. Because I went through like a few months ago on Hulu. I like watched
some. And we listened to all the podcasts, but I don't think I had ever like seen Malls. And then the thing came up with like Molly MacLear. And I was like, oh my God. Oh,
that's so funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I always wonder about that show. Do those people, like, did Molly already know a lot about this?
I don't know.
Learn it and then, like, regurgitate it drunk?
I think I read an article that they're basically given, like, a couple topics to pick from. Okay. And then they pick one and then they do, they do more research on it.
Okay, so then.
But it's not like, you're not like heavily prepared for it, or it's not something that you like super, super know.
Right, so I always watch it, and I'm like, how do these comedians, like, why are they all experts on history? Like, I don't
understand. Oh, I always assumed they were told to like look into that specific topic, but I never knew if they were like maybe like wrote a little bit of the script themselves, so that's how they can like kind of keep on track. You know, once you're drunk, you're going to not necessarily
stay. I don't think they write a script. I think they're just given a couple of like, topics and then like you prepare for it, but it's hard to say on topic. I think I honestly have never really watched the show.
Oh, it's pretty funny.
They usually do three different topics in an episode, so you can get like a little.
We started DVRing it because I knew I'm like a big Lin-Manuel Miranda fangirl, and I knew that they were going to be doing a Hamilton episode with him, but I didn't know when. So I started DVRing it so I would have it, and then I had them on my DVR, so I watched them, and it's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I watched today, though, that I could not get into? Have you guys seen that history roast show on Netflix?
No. Did not look like my thing.
No. They like.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Figures, and I.
It just came out.
Well, I read about it because it was like really scandalous. Apparently, they did an Anne Frank episode that people like.
Oh!
Like,
oh, it was like a Hitler episode. Yeah.
I did hear about roasting like roast Anne Frank. Well, I read the headline and I was like, I'm going to skip reading this article.
I watched like part of the first episode and it was like, and then they have like actors like playing the historic figures. So it was like Bob Saget playing Abraham Lincoln and John Stamos was playing John Wilkes Booth who like roasted him, but it was weird because they also had like some comedian was playing Mary Todd Lincoln, but she would like make jokes about John Stamos. So it was like, what are we doing here?
Oh,
like, is there history or are you like, yeah. It was like walking a line that I didn't
pick one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also wasn't like that funny. I didn't think.
So. I didn't think.
No, you're not missing anything. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at JessPausedPod. As I always explain, I used to have a different social media handle, but it had my last name in it, and I don't want you to know my kids' full names.
You can follow me at Sayo Monroe on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow us at Totally Paused Pod on Instagram and Totally Pause with no D Pod on Twitter. Please subscribe, like, give us a review. Only good reviews. We don't want bad reviews. Take that negativity out.
Don't look at them. It doesn't do you any good.
I told Jessica, I'm like, I'm so scared for the first time we get like a negative review.
No, but I won't be able to read it because I won't want to do the podcast anymore.
Just don't read it. Just don't read it. Some of mine are like psychotic.
I saw that thing you posted the other day. Someone messaged you about like the vocal fry. I had to look up what that was.
Yeah, someone sent me a DM that was like, please, please, please stop with the vocal fry. And I wrote her back. I was like, that's just the way I talk, but thanks for going out of your way to send me an unnecessarily rude message.
Yeah. I guess I listened to the Race Chaser podcast, and Alaska like puts on a vocal fry like on purpose. So next to that,
nobody really have one.
You don't. That's what I mean. Like, I don't think you do either.
I think I have a bit of one because I think all women our age kind of have a bit of one where we all kind of do an upwards inflection. And
right.
But I think in general, I have a pretty deep voice. Usually like a vocal fry isn't associated with a deep voice. I don't know. It's so weird. I was doing an Instagram story and just talking my Instagram story. Like I always talk, like I wasn't doing a pen on voice or anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, this person is following me on my podcast Instagram, so they obviously listen to my podcast where I just talk like this into my mic for hours. So like if my voice bothers them, like I feel like we're years too late on this.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna talk the way you're gonna talk, but you do not have one. Like you sound perfectly great.
I listen to some podcasts with girls with vocal fries, like tough ones, but it's fine, whatever, I don't care. Like if I like the rest of the tone of their voice, it doesn't bother me. I just thought it was like, it was such a weird, it was just so unnecessarily rude to someone to be like, don't speak like that. Like,
people are rude. That was why I like wasn't sure for a while. I finally decided like it made sense for the sake of the podcast to like have my personal Instagram like associated with it. But I was like, what if people say rude things about my kids?
Yeah.
Well, they're assholes. That's what they are.
Luckily, my kids are beautiful and charming, so we don't have to worry. But
yeah, well. That's why you protect your children.
Oh, yeah.
Good mom. Okay. Well, Liz, this was awesome. We were so excited to have you on.
I'm so glad you did this movie.
If you ever think of another thing that falls within this podcast, you are welcome back on anytime.
What are the specific years you do? Do you have a cutoff?
Thousands.
You know, 2010 is, I think, in my mind, where the cutoff is.
Yeah. 90 to 2010.
Early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. But like,
I really want to, there are like a lot of random movies that I really love and like want to talk about with someone like that nobody cares about in this entire world.
Literally what we're here for.
Like Studio 54 with Neb Campbell and Ryan Phillippe.
Yes, I would watch that again.
I watched that like not that long ago and I was like, wow, I need to talk with someone about this. I actually texted Troy and was like, can we do a bonus episode on this? But then like, we're both so lazy and busy.
I mean, Mike Myers and Steve Rebell, like, come on. Mm-hmm. You're welcome back anytime you want, Liz.
Thank you. I'll make a list of movies that like had no cultural impact whatsoever and nobody cares about and nobody's talking about.
Yeah, well, that's the point. You would think that, but then we look and we find like interesting things about movies and stuff. We're like, oh, this had more of an impact.
All right,
next time.
Guys.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye.
We're outie.